Psalm 84, if you would please, for just a few moments this evening. I'd like to give you a thought from my heart from this passage, Psalm 84. And I'll read three verses. Psalm 84, one of my favorite psalms, probably my favorite, especially verse 11. That verse carried me through my entire teenage years. And I can never forget it. Psalm 84, I'm going to read verses 5, 6, and 7. And verse 7 is our text. Psalm 84, verse number 5. I'm preaching tonight on the subject, taking the next step. Taking the next step. Psalm 84, 5. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, and whose heart are the ways of them who, passing through the valley of Baca, make it a well. The rain also filleth the pools. They go from strength to strength. Every one of them in Zion appeareth before God. Taking the next step. You know, the Christian life is a journey. It is not a 100-yard sprint. It is a marathon. It is a journey of 1,000 steps. No, more like 100,000 steps. It's a journey. There's always a next step to take. No matter where you are in the Christian journey tonight, there's a next step. There's a step higher. There's a lesson to be learned. There's progress to be made. You have not arrived. You're not perfect. You might be close, but you're not perfect. If you were perfect, you wouldn't be in this world. So there's a next step in your journey. And this text here talks about going from strength to strength. Going from a little strength to more strength, and then even more strength than that. From strength to strength. The Bible uses that phrase several times to indicate the progress that we need to make. It talks in Romans about going from faith to faith. From a little faith to a little more faith, the next step of faith, and then going a little higher in our faith and having even more faith. It talks about grace, going from grace to grace. John chapter 1, from one experience of grace, James 4 talks about more grace. He giveth more grace. And then the Bible talks about going from glory to glory, a little higher. All the while, and that's the way we need to see our Christian lives, is taking the next step, going higher and higher, and knowing and doing more and more, and greater all the time. Now, some people seem to think the Christian life is about going down, but it's going up. It's taking the next step. So I want to mention some of the steps you've probably already made. And then I want to mention some steps I'm sure most of us have not yet made. So the Christian journey is always about advancing, learning, growing, onward, upward. I'm satisfied tonight with my salvation, but I'm not satisfied with my sanctification. I'm satisfied with what God has done for me, but I'm not satisfied with what I've done for Him. We should never be satisfied. We should never just sit down and think that we've arrived, because we haven't. So with every passing day, we experience a little bit more strength, a little bit more faith, a little bit more grace, and a little bit more glory. That should be our experience. I like what Mays Jackson said. You know, he would get in the big way and he'd preach, and that white stuff would come out of his mouth. And a lady asked him one time what that was. He said, "Ma'am, hadn't you heard of the promised land that flows with milk and honey?" He said, "Honey, that's milk. That's milk from the promised land." Amen. I like that better than any other explanation. So thank God we can experience the promised land now. You know, the promised land, Canaan land, that's not a picture of heaven, because they fought 30-some wars in the promised land. That picture is the abundant Christian life now. the Spirit-filled life now. I know heaven's the promised land because it's promised, but Canaan land is now. I'm dwelling in Canaan now. So thank God for that. Well, getting saved is the first step in your journey, but there's a whole lot of steps after that. Let's talk about them. First of all, there's the step of baptism and church membership. Now, baptism has nothing to do with your salvation. We know that, but it is obedience. It is obedience. Jesus did say, get them saved and then baptize them. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. By immersion, after salvation, as a public testimony, as an object lesson of our own death and resurrection, as well as the death and resurrection of Christ. So when you baptize a baby, for example, you distort the whole meaning of it. I mean, that child's not saved. And when you don't immerse, also you distort the whole meaning of it. So we've got it right because we go by the Bible. Amen. I'm a Baptist. Thank God. And baptism publicly identifies you with God's people. When you get baptized, you're saying, I am saved. I am not ashamed of it. I am casting my lot with God's people. I am a Christian. And it's also the door to church membership. When you're saved, you belong to the church, but you don't belong to a local church without getting baptized, first of all. Then if you move, there are other ways to join. But there is the step of baptism and church membership. And it's so plain in the Bible, isn't it? I don't even have the time to show you. You know from the book of Acts, repeatedly the Bible shows us how to do it. How to get saved, then get baptized, and join the church, and serve the Lord. It was never meant to be complicated. But you know what? A lot of people never get to first base. When it says in the paper of the Baptist faith, do you know what that means? That means they never got baptized. Never was a church member. The Baptist faith, that's what it, if they were a member of a church, it doesn't say. So a lot of people, if you're saved, you're going to heaven. Amen. But why be the sorriest child God has? Amen. Get saved, get baptized, and get in there and serve God with your one life that you have. Well, quickly and secondly, there's the step of faithfulness. You need to decide, I'm not only going to be baptized and join the church, they can count on me. I'll be there. Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. That's the Bible, isn't it? God expects us, if we're able to be in our place and be in church on the Lord's day, and when the doors are open. Why should you go to church? Hadn't you heard people say, well, I don't have to go to church to be a Christian. Well, that's another sermon. I'll leave that one right there. Why do you go to church? For mutual encouragement. When I leave church, I am encouraged. I walk out that door and walk to my car, and in my soul I feel like, hallelujah, it's worth it. That's the way I feel. Yeah. Now when I'm out in this world, I feel like, oh me, oh my, I'm going this way and there's 95,000 going the other way. Don't you feel that? I know that's exaggeration, but the devil exaggerates. He has told you, hasn't he? You're the only one and you know you're not the only one. But he tells you that. Why do you go to church? For worship. Amen. Why do you come to church? To serve. There's things that need to be done. You come to church to serve. You come to learn. That's how you know you're saved. You got an appetite for spiritual things. You need it. You enjoy it. You love it. Be faithful. I'm hurrying. I got a lot more to say. Some people are more faithful to Winn-Dixie than to God's house. I don't even know if there are any more Winn-Dixies. There used to be. And people are going to go to get their groceries on Friday night? I don't care. If there's a hurricane coming and a tornado both, it's Friday night. Yeah. Well, we need that when it comes to church, don't we? Instead of, you know, have you ever heard that? We'll just all stay home, blow the poor kid's nose. You never heard that, have you? We usually end up where we want to be. Number three, and quickly, there's the step of stewardship. I'm going to get saved. I'm going to get baptized. I'm going to join that church. I'm going to be in my place. And not only that, I'm going to give God 10%. Because the Bible teaches that. And they tithe before the law, during the law, after the law. God's not unreasonable, 10%. You're acknowledging, Lord, you are the owner. I'm a steward. I'm a manager. I'm a trustee. It all belongs to you. You gave me the strength to earn it. And your work requires that I put in my 10%. And you said you'd bless it. And you said, Lord, if I'd give, you'd give. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. That's a step we all need to take. God teaches us to tithe and not to tip. You know the difference? And to teach joy and to give joyfully. And be a fountain and not a drain. Amen. Ain't that a good quote? I saw that in somewhere. Start to say Kirkland's, I don't know. Be a fountain and not a drain. We are but stewards. That's the upward step of stewardship. Number four, daily prayer. Daily prayer. What a privilege to talk to God about everything. Amen. What a privilege to take that worry list, turn it into a prayer list. I like what one fellow did. He said, I take all my worries, write them down, put them in a box, and I don't worry. He said, I've made up my mind, I'm only going to worry on Wednesdays. So when I start to worry, I say, whoa, just only on Wednesday. He said, when Wednesday comes around, 90% of the things I worried about never took place. And I don't have much to worry about. That's a pretty good way to handle it. Or just come boldly to the throne of grace and say, Lord, I can't handle this. But you love me, Lord. If you're trying to teach me something, I'm listening, Lord. Thy will be done. I had a man tell me one time not to pray, thy will be done. I said, sir, you need to read Jesus' prayer one more time. He taught us to pray, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Probably the wisest thing we ever do is pray, thy will be done. Because we don't know what's best for us like we think we do. So make prayer a part of your life. How much should you pray? All the time? The spirit of prayer, dependence, obedience. Daniel prayed 3 times a day. The psalmist said, evening, morning, and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. And so there's Bible reasons for saying we ought to pray at least 3 times a day. If that's your meal times, that's fine. Or open the door with prayer, or lock it at night with prayer when you need to pray, but at least 3 times a day. Prayer keeps us going, amen. I heard Miss Ruby say that one time. I wrote it down. Prayer keep you going, amen. You know what the old preachers used to say? They'd say, pray till your face shines. If your face ain't shining, you ain't prayed enough. Amen. Pray till your face shines. I like that. The next step. Then make daily, not only prayer, you talking to God, but Bible reading where God's talking to you. Maybe that's the next step you need to take. To determine you're going to read your Bible every day. A lot of people just let the dust collect on their Bible, and that means it's dust on your soul. What food is to your body, the Word of God is to your soul. That's why Job said, I've esteemed the words of thy mouth more than my necessary food. How could you be a good Christian if you didn't read the Bible? Is it not our lamp, our light, our meat and milk? Is it not the only offensive weapon we have? The sword of the Spirit? Daily Bible reading. A lot of folks never got that far. They don't know much. That's why every day 500 Baptists become Mormons, because they don't know much. And that's just, the cults love ignorant Christians. They really do. They're easily misled. I'll tell you something else you might want to do. Start you a good library. Horace Greeley said, a small library of carefully selected books has prevented many a youth from wandering into the ways of the prodigal. Good books promote obedience and contentment. That's a 100-year-old quote. It's still very true. Be a reader. A reader. Tom Williams said, every leader is a reader. Amen. We don't know how to read today. We can't read with comprehension in our day. If you think you're a good reader, find you a book written 400 years ago and it'll deflate your ego in a hurry. We can't even read today. We're so gullible, aren't we? So learn to read, and most of all, read the book, the Bible. Amen. I'm talking about steps we need to take on our Christian journey. What's your next step? For some, it's being a witness. Being a witness. Some people say, well, I can't do it. I'm scared. Well, pray for boldness. Pray for wisdom. Pray for compassion. Somebody loved you, preached to you, prayed for you, challenged you. You can do that, can't you? You can do that. Remember, that used to be you that was the sinner, wasn't it? Aren't you glad somebody stood in your way? Showed a little concern for you? We have a duty to love people and pray for them and live right in front of them and tell them how to get saved. You know what George Williams said? By the way, he founded the YMCA. By the way, the YMCA started to get people saved. Study it. I mean, they went all over preaching. What, you know what C stands for in YMCA? Christian. Just a little bit of history there, no charge. Just compare today. George Williams, founder of the YMCA, said, learn to preach to one. Maybe you can't preach there at church or even teach a Sunday school class, but maybe there's one person in the whole world you can sit across the table from and say, hey, I got saved. It's the greatest thing that ever happened to me. Are you saved? Maybe you could do that. Maybe you could reach one. Maybe that's your next step. I like what the lighthouse keeper said. He said, I saved one. Maybe you can save one. The Bible says you get somebody saved if you keep sowing and fishing. Well, that's a few things, a few steps. You say, preacher, is that all of them? Is that the top? Oh, folks, I just got started. Time would fail to mention all of them. There's hundreds, maybe thousands. And they're not all in the same order. We don't all come to the same step at the same time. Let me just throw some at you and I'll be done. Some more steps that we need to take. There's the decision to be a second mile Christian. You know, Jesus said, whoever compels you to go 1 mile, go two. That means going above and beyond the call of duty. That means preferring somebody before you. This is hard stuff. This is Christian stuff. No, the world would never understand. They'd laugh. But there's such a thing as preferring others, Romans 12. Treating people like you'd want to be treated, Luke 6:31. Not the way you're treated, the way you would want to be treated. Most of us treat people the way they treat us. That's worldly. Amen. That's worldly. Ain't nothing Christian about that. The way you'd want to be treated. Maybe that's your next step. Being a blessing to people. Having a servant's heart. That ain't going to happen automatically. No, sir, you live 100 years, that'll never happen automatically. That's against all that we are and ever taught. Having a servant's heart. How about, here's another big step, being a prayer warrior. An intercessor. I mean, have a burden and pray and like the great intercessors of the Bible, Elijah, Moses, Samuel, Anna, Luke chapter 2. Prayer warrior. That's a step. A lot of us never got to that step. Great prayer warriors in history. Praying Nash. All the great revivals had men and women who prayed in the background. That we don't know them so much. When I say Praying Nash, and Reese Howes, we say, who was that? That's great prayer warriors. Charles Finney. Percy Ray said if he hadn't prayed and preached in 1971, this nation would have become communist in that year. Study that out. Oh, some of us need to take that step. We need to become prayer warriors and intercessors. Tom Williams said he had a lady who prayed for him. He went to her house one day and to thank her. And he knocked on the door and there was no answer. This widow lady. He said, I knew she was praying. I just sat on the porch. Every 15 minutes, I knock on the door. No answer, no answer. About an hour and a half later, she came to the door. Brother Tom, I've been praying for you. Oh, I knew you was. See, we only see the man out front. If a man has any success, somebody prayed. Somebody prayed. There's a lot of other steps. Some of us maybe need to take this step. We need to make up our minds and determine by the help of God that we're never going to be unthankful again. Wouldn't that be a good step to take? Wouldn't it? Never to take anything for granted again. I told God years ago that I'd never complain again. As long as I live, I said, Lord, you save me and let me be a preacher. I will never complain again. Some of us need to take that step. I'll never be critical again. I'll never be unkind again. What's the next step? Surely there's a next step. You hadn't arrived. I know you hadn't. Never be cowardly again. No need to be a chicken. Maybe your next step is you need to surrender to the call to preach. Maybe your next step is you need to surrender to the mission field. Maybe your next step is you need to determine to learn the luxury of giving. That's a big step for J.C. Penney, R.G. Letourneau, Russell Anderson, and others who said, Lord, you bless me. I'm going to give you 90% of my earnings. Big step. Can I get a witness? Big step. But they took it. That was their next step. I'm not saying that's God's will for everybody, but it's God's will for some. Colonel Sanders did that too. That's why we still have KFCs. Amen. Maybe your next step is just as simple as a sweet, humble attitude and submission to authority in your life. I bet people must be miserable that's always bucking authority. At home, in the church, at school, society, government, just seem like they got to rebel against everything. You know anybody like that? That's wicked. In fact, the Bible says that's like witchcraft. Rebellion's like witchcraft, 1 Samuel says. How about a sweet, submissive attitude? Maybe your next step is you need a new burden for your Sunday school class. Pray for them every day. Those ones that you teach, you ought to love them, pray for them every day. Maybe you just need a burden for your own family. You can lose it. You can lose a burden for your own family. I thought of a fellow today. I wouldn't call his name for nothing. But the older he gets in the Christian life, he's so bitter. He's so critical. And I'm just that far away from telling him. And he's a preacher. And he's known all around the world. And he's a great man. But I hate to be around, I hate to be around him, or for anybody I know to be around him, because he's so negative. We don't need that. The world's hard enough on Christians for Christians to be sour. Maybe you need to get back in the choir. Maybe you need to get back in the fire. Amen. Maybe your tongue needs to be under the control of the Holy Ghost. Maybe your life needs to be under the Lordship of Jesus Christ. What's your next step? I don't know. I'm out of time. I just ask you to leave here tonight and pray about it. Lord, where am I and what's my next step? And God wants you to go from strength to strength, and from faith to faith, and from grace to more grace, and from glory to more glory. Ever upward, onward, higher, thank God, till your last step is the golden streets. Don't ever be satisfied where you are. It's up to God to show you the next step, and it's up to you to take it. It's not enough to know it, not enough to think about it. Not even enough to mourn over it or weep about it. You need to do it. I was thinking today, I'm done. I was thinking today of a man, and last time I talked to him about coming to church, he actually wept. Tears ran down his face. He said, "You're right. I know where I need to be." But has there been any action associated? That ain't enough. Knowing's not enough. Weeping over it's not enough. You got to do it. You got to do it. I heard a man say this today too on a tape. He said, some of us, we can't give God our best days because they're behind us. We can't give him our best, the best of our strength. It's gone. It's done. But he said, if you can't give him your best, give him your rest. From where you are and from here on out, give him the rest. He'll take the rest. Oh, he will. Thank God. Yes, he will. He won't quench the smoking flax, thank God. He'll take what you give him, and he'll do more out of your life than you or I ever could. That's the message tonight on my heart. Let's come and pray.